Mr. X lawyer and Mr. Y banker, both are in the system in a big way. Big pensions from banks, big, you know, government contracts working and that sort of stuff. And that's the fear.
It's hard to see outside of the system when you're in the system, working in the system. You've got all your money in the system, and like, it's scary to then be like, well, we're giving you something alternative just to look at. And they're like, nope, I'm happy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Bitcoin Collective podcast, your journey into Bitcoin, sound money, and macroeconomics with me, Jim.
And me, Jordan.
How are you, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to a few of like Peter McCormick's podcasts, and for the first 5 minutes, Peter McCormick sort of chews the fat with him and all that, and sort of laughs around, uses a few swear words, and just sort of makes them feel comfortable. Are you going to do that with me?
Yeah, what are we going to chew? Chew the fat on?
The only thing we always chew the fat on, which is Bitcoin. So let me start off by talking you through. So you see, I did my first piece for Bitcoin Times.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
I've... Would you like me to...
I've heard the story from you.
Uh-huh. Would you like me to pause the podcast to allow you to read it? So,
how about you summarize it for the listeners? And then we'll put it in the show notes below as well.
Okay. So I went to lunch in a place called Broughty Ferry. Now try saying that if you're American. Broughty Ferry. Broughty Ferry. Apparently Americans have got a real issue with the rrr of the Scots dialect. Rrr. How about that, eh? Woof. That'll get me a girlfriend. So, Broughty Ferry, went for lunch. I had Chris there, who we know is also a great Bitcoin advocate. And there was about six or seven of us. So, Mr. X, we'll call this guy Mr. X, because he's a lawyer, and I don't want him to sue me. And we, Chris and I started talking about Bitcoin, and he just was like, whoa, you guys are Scientologists. You're the Scientologists of Bitcoin. You just want to convert me into your religion to pump the price. And I was like, whoa. So, I mean, it was just like, wow. So it was a 45-minute conversation. And throughout that 45 minutes, no one really listened. No one really thought about what we're saying. Everyone just waited to speak, if you know what I mean, and talking over each other. And there was a couple of, excuse me, I haven't finished my point yet. Whoa. So there was this kind of heated debate, and we talked about central banks, inflation, growth, debt clocks, everything to try and orange pill or create some curiosity in Mr. X. And Mr. X was having none of it. I mean, he was a lawyer arguing a position, and he was not going to move from that position. So, and the worst of it is, right? The worst of it is, I then said, can I have your WhatsApp? Now, he's a friend of a friend. I said, can I have your WhatsApp? And I'll keep in contact with you. He doesn't even want to be my WhatsApp friend. He's like, because I was like, can you sort that out for me? And then and came back, what will the subject be? Oh, God. So it made me think. It did make me think about when you're orange pilling. There's all the different tactics you can take in terms of introducing what is money, where we are today, the amount of debt. I mean, you could even say, look, you've got a young child. The debt just now that you will leave that young child when that young child is 30 is humongous. But you won't be around, but that debt will still be there because the cycle in the money is broken. But then when the answer to that is, when the retort comes back, but we need debt for growth. Ah, where does all, who's growing? The billionaires? It ain't you, mate. You're paying a mortgage in London. You know. So, it's an interesting one that when you bring it up at a dinner table, and they know that you are a Bitcoiner, to be accused of being a Scientologist, I was thinking that's really interesting. I've not come across that one before.
So yeah, it's so tricky. Especially if you didn't know that, like, that person's going to be there. So you don't really know what they like doing. Like, because what we were talking in the podcast before is going in with a strategy and, like, meeting them where they are. So what will attract them to Bitcoin? But if you're going in cold, it's so hard to actually educate them about it. And especially if they're coming in with the narrative that it's a scam, it's a Ponzi scheme. To break that down is so difficult. And I'm still, like, I don't know the best way to do that, of breaking that down, other than what you said you've done, like, just going through the process of history and money. But then that just makes you look more like a Scientologist. But it's so tricky to actually explain this whole thing to someone a dinner.
then it took me back to just before we did the conference, probably about 5 months before we did the conference in Edinburgh. And I was reaching out to some people in Edinburgh who I knew were, had some political connections, had some local connections, and I hadn't seen them for a while. And just sent them an email, can I come down, meet you in George Street, have a coffee and tell you about what I'm going to do. And one of the guys I met was a very senior banker, very retired, very senior. And I started to chat away to him and talk about what we're going to do. And all of a sudden he became really negative. And he said, it's a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin is a Ponzi. You just need more and more people into that Ponzi. And even though he's a clever man and he knew that with a Ponzi, there's no cap to how much can go in terms of there's only 21 million, you can't keep increasing the cap and all that sort of stuff. It's not like Bernie Madoff, it just gets bigger and bigger and the debt gets bigger. And he had the same, literally the same response. And then what happened was the kind of coffee ended and he just couldn't wait to get away. And having reflected on both of those encounters, now both of those people, Mr. X banker, sorry, Mr. X lawyer, Mr. Y banker, both are in the system in a big way. Big pensions from banks, big, you know, government contracts working and that sort of stuff. And that's the fear. Because if you then in the matrix plug them in and let them see exactly what is going on, that terrifies them, and they do not want you to upset their apple cart.
100%. Like, that's the way the majority of us have been programmed, right? And it's to think like this. I always find it hard to orange pill someone who's not open-minded. And I think that's the first key to the orange pilling strategy, or picking your orange pilling strategy, is testing the waters to see how open they are to new ideas and ways of thinking. And maybe they're just not ready yet. If you can come to that conclusion and be like, they're not feeling enough pain yet, or they haven't really seen the benefits of it, you can present some of that, but they might just be ultra defensive on it. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to see outside of the system when you're in the system, working in the system. You've got all your money in the system, it's scary to then be like, well, we're giving you something alternative just to look at. And they're like, nope, I'm happy.
So what I suggested was, so I said, well, how do we do this? And I said, well, let's see Bitcoin, aka Greg Foss, when he spoke to us about Scotland, the Scottish government or the UK government starts to put maybe 2% of it on its balance sheet and starts to buy it and use it as a savings policy, as a brand new form of gold, if that's what you want to call it. But no, I wasn't having any of it. But what it did was, Jordan, it made me think. So I was able to come back, and Chris was able to come back with some pretty good concrete examples of why Bitcoin is not Scientology. And even using that term, you know, Scientology, religious fanatic, I thought, oh, that's quite powerful that he is going down that route right away. So he viewed us as a couple of people that were going to bring him in. You know, you're going to stand there with a little booklet. It's not going to tell me how sad I am. It's going to tell me how sad my life is and how you can make it better. But really, you just want me to buy Bitcoin. But it made me think about, I think I need to reread in a big way the fiat standard and a couple more Bitcoin books and get that whole pitch, if you want to call it, or have the replies ready in a more structured fashion. Because when someone comes at you like that, it's really difficult to say, to sort of not so much break them down, but plug them in and say, look, here's where you are just now. It's almost like, I guess it comes back to that 30 odd years ago when the internet was coming in and people are like, that's going to cut, that's really bad. But look what it's done for us. So interesting. So I've written about it in the BT Times, BTC Times, if you want to read about my Matrix surreal luncheon and being called a Scientologist. No disrespect to all the Scientologists on there. I don't want you knocking on my door or being shot or anything like that. I mean, I don't think Scientologists shoot you, do you? You know? I don't think there's any Scientologists in Dundee at the moment.
You never know.
You never know. So on a positive note, Arizona. What's happening in Arizona?
They've put a bill forward to make Bitcoin legal tender in the state. Is that correct?
Yes. Senator Wendy Rogers. Yeah, she's a Republican in Arizona.
This is good. Like, it probably won't pass, but it's getting that conversation started, and it then sparks these conversations to be had in high up levels in parliament, in government, in senate, wherever it is. I don't really fully understand the whole American structure, but it sparks them to actually happen, which is really important.
Yeah, so, you know, Wendy Rogers introduces a set of bills aimed at making Bitcoin legal tender and allowing the state agencies to accept Bitcoin. Now, for her to do that, she doesn't wake up in the morning and just go, I think I'll just jump on this Bitcoin bandwagon. Someone's had to speak to her, or she's had to go through an orange pilling over at least a 12-month period. She'll have had staffers and researchers doing papers. She'll have read papers. She'll have been briefed. She'll understand what it means to the state, why it's important. And you kind of think to yourself, wow, that's a really brave move. Now, whether it gets passed in the state, who knows? But the fact that she's done it and the fact that she's taken the time to learn about it, I find really interesting. And then you compare and contrast that with what's taking place in the United Kingdom, never mind Scotland. So there's nothing taking place in Scotland. Scotland just wants to... I mean, the whole debate in Scotland just now is transgender rights. I'm not going to get into that because I wish everyone well. This is while the world is burning in terms of financial stability. The United Kingdom has got crypto sessions going on and crypto, what do you want to call that, you know, regulation, looking at it and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And no politician in the United Kingdom has actually done what Wendy Rogers has done and taken the time to fully understand the difference between Bitcoin, Cardano, Solana, Ethereum, and all the other 22 other crypto projects that are out there, 22,000. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're really falling down here. And one day I'm saddened, the next day I'm frustrated, the next day I'm angry, the next day I think, who gives a shit? But it does make you think that if a Republican senator from Arizona can be so bold and so informed as to create that set of bills, where's the United Kingdom? It's quagmired in crypto.
Mm-hmm. It's painful to see. We are so far behind when it comes to stuff like this. And this is what we're starting to work on, is like trying to raise the profile of Bitcoin in the UK and the representation at these levels. So that's something we're looking into a lot at the Bitcoin Collective now. And like, what I would love to do is educate or start the education process or going down the rabbit hole with maybe some politicians, and then take them over to Texas, Arizona, wherever it is, just to see what is possible and open their eyes and like what it's actually doing for the economy, for the state. And I know this is more top-down approach, but I think we need every angle. Like, we're working on grassroots stuff, we're working on top-down, and we need to be working in the middle. It's important to take every angle, and like it or not, I think that top-down, there needs to be education there. And lots of people will disagree with that. Where we stand.
Let me just read you some of the stuff. This is from Bitcoin Magazine. The proposed legislation aims to recognize Bitcoin as a legal form of currency in Arizona, allowing it to be used to pay mm-hmm. for debts, taxes, and other financial obligations. This would mean that all transactions that are currently done in US dollars could potentially be done with Bitcoin, and individuals and businesses would have the option to use Bitcoin as they see fit, so it's not been imposed. Specifically mentioning Bitcoin alone, the legal tender bill defines Bitcoin as the decentralized peer-to-peer digital currency in which a record of transactions is maintained on the Bitcoin blockchain, and new units of currency are generated by the computational solution of mathematical problems, and that operates independently of a central bank. And you think to yourself, okay, there's a lot of thought going into the whole thing. And it also talks about recent actions in Texas, New Hampshire, Missouri, and Mississippi all indicate increasing US state interest in Bitcoin and its benefits. So the United States, or some of them, are having a go at better understanding Bitcoin. And a lot of that is down to the mm-hmm. hard work of the Bitcoiners, your Corey Klipsteins, your David Zells at the Bitcoin Policy Institute, all these people working so hard. Where are we in the United Kingdom? Now, we just had our first conference, and conferences are great and they make us feel good, and we all know that we can meet together and realise that we're not Scientologists. Right, but we're all about macroeconomics and sound money. It's a very different genre.
Yeah,
we need more than that. We need representation. And my question is, so we know all the Bitcoin whales and all the big Bitcoiners in the United Kingdom, in the United States and Canada. Where are you in the United Kingdom? Where are you? Who are you? Mm-hmm. Where's the people that are going to stand up and say, okay, let's do this. I'm going to get behind it. I'm going to back it. I'm going to help fund it, or I know people that can. Do we just go to conferences, or is there more needed? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a question to the listeners, right? There is more. There's so much more needed, I believe, as well. I'm on the same page. It's painful, as we said, looking at the landscape in the UK. Like, some examples that I've been writing up is, even having your Natalie Brunels, your Jeff Booths, your Michael Saylors on CNBC, CNN, Fox Business, that makes a huge difference, because it just gets the conversation talked about, and it gets it in people's minds that, oh, wow, okay, maybe I should be looking into this more. It gives more credibility to it. Whereas in the UK, a lot of people stand with the same view as Mr. X, the lawyer, that Bitcoiners are a bunch of crazy people that just want the price to be pumped, and that's it, for their own good. And that's not what it's about. So it's changing that narrative, and it's getting a group of people together to change that narrative in the UK.
Yes, well, we'll see what we can do. Took me back to, I also listened to Peter McCormack's, one of his podcasts. It was not a recent one. I think it was in the last month. It was with Travis Kling. And he lost a lot of money. Yeah, he's lost. He had one of these hedge funds in America. and they were investing in all sorts of, I don't know. And he had a lot of the money, if not all of it, on the FTX exchange. And he lost, essentially within a week, they had shut down all the withdrawals and he couldn't get access to them. I think it's tens of millions of dollars, if not more. So Travis Kling, and Travis Kling put out a series of tweets about a month ago or so, and he more or less said, I've lost oodles of cash. I'm at a loss as a human being. So it was a real sore one for him. Now, a lot of Bitcoiners will say, ha ha, you're a silly sod, we told you so, and essentially, tough doggies. But the human side to that is, he's now learned, and he will not be investing in all that crap again, and if he comes back, he'll come back stronger. And I thought Peter McCormack was really honest as well, because you know, we've listened to Peter for about 4 years now, and he said some of the sponsors I had, like BlockFi and Compass Mining, you know, we were saying you'll get this rate on BlockFi, you'll get a special discount with what Bitcoin did and all the rest of it. He said, and I've had so many listeners who became customers of BlockFi and have lost their Bitcoin because BlockFi stopped withdrawals and they had it on there getting yield. So, you know, essentially paying interest.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, you know, we had to make those judgment calls in that we needed sponsorship to get the pod going and to pay his bills. He's got family. And, you know, you've got something massive like BlockFi comes along and it looks like, wow, it's going to be the next, it's just going to be the next Coinbase type thing. It looks as if it's going to go on the NASDAQ, all that. And then it goes pop. And it kind of like takes you back to that. Well, and Peter was really honest when he said, look, I kind of know it. We know it. It's a real juggling. And him and Travis were, it was a bit of a, we've made some mistakes, but we're going to learn from them. And we've done the same, Jordan. That's why we don't have a sponsor just now, because even though certain crypto assets want to sponsor us, there's nobody from Bitcoin to sponsor. But it does make me think about how important it is that people appreciate the difference between Bitcoin and crypto and who's running these exchanges, mm-hmm. etc. It's so important.
Yeah.
And that's where Arizona is ahead of the game.
We could get a crypto company to run our conferences, to do our sponsor, because they're businesses, right? And they want to promote their product. But the difficulty is when you're a Bitcoin podcast, you're a Bitcoin conference, you're a Bitcoin, what we're soon to announce, hopefully in the next few months, then it's hard to get sponsorship from that because it's not a business. And it doesn't have that investment behind it. So it's very tricky finding that. And that's why I think with exchanges, I can kind of deal with, because I just kind of see them as on and off ramps, as you can buy your Bitcoin and then you can take it off straight away. So you're only dealing with them for a matter of hours. Whereas when you've got lending platforms, that's when it gets, like, you just stay away from. In my head, it's too dangerous because you have to leave it in their custody. And I just wouldn't want to promote anything like that anymore. Just stay away from that.
Yeah. Well, I recall 18 months ago, probably about a year to 18 months ago, having conversations with Abra about putting a sum of money with them, and the guy's like, oh, you can get this and get 10%, and I was going to my bank. And I remember at the time, many people in the crypto landscape were thinking, we don't need banks anymore, we'll go to the likes of Abra and we can give them £10,000 and we'll get £1,000 interest every year, and they're going to be a bank and all that. I wonder, everyone just gets swept away so quickly. We did, I did. And recently, I've been contacted by, I've been DM'd by the head of partnerships at a big crypto firm asking for a chat. And I've just said, no, I don't even want the chat because I know it's coming. Could we sponsor your pod? Could we get involved? And we can't do that. Absolutely not. So it's a tough one for people who, like Peter, who've promoted Bitcoin, and I've got to keep the lights on. But I think moving forward, everyone now realizes the importance of being really true to understanding the machinery of Bitcoin versus the machinery of something else. Which then brings me nicely onto Corey Klipstein. So Corey's he's the big cheese at Swan Bitcoin. And he's been very supportive of us, especially when we started the conference and we had a bit of grief. He was there and put his name behind it. It was really good. Did you see recently that Corey's talking about taking Swan to an IPO? What's your thoughts on that?
I did see that. I don't really know enough about what that would mean, because obviously we've seen it happen once before with Coinbase. But obviously he's wanting now to get a purely Bitcoin-focused exchange public, which it needs to be the right time. And I think it all comes down to timing. There needs to be enough education and Bitcoin adoption. So if he can time it, the going public roughly around the right time. I don't know when the right time is. I'm saying the right time. I don't know when, but when adoption is high and education levels are high. And I think we're going that way when we're seeing states like Wyoming, Texas, and Arizona, you name it, all moving towards that. And America are taking over when it comes to mining. And that's a worry for me. That's another topic. But they're getting, it's becoming very concentrated now. And yeah, back to Corey. I think in my eyes, it seems like a good idea, but I haven't looked enough into it. What's your thoughts on it?
So interestingly, this week, Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, on Twitter, his handle is brianarmstrong.eth. That's gone. So he's taken that down. And something else regarding crypto. And he's come out with tweets saying, it's Bitcoin, baby. It's Bitcoin. I am Mr. Bitcoin. I am Brian Armstrong Bitcoin. That's me. Ooh. Because he knows that the legislation is coming down the pipeline in terms of securities laws regarding Ethereum, etc. And all of a sudden, he's moved heavily into the, it's all about Bitcoin, baby. And then you've got Corey coming up the near side, looking for an IPO. You tie that in with exactly what you said, other states looking at Bitcoin as tender. And I think his timing's spot on. And I think within the next 2 years, if Corey and the team at Swan pull it off, I think it could be fantastic for them and all the hard work, and fantastic for Bitcoin. As you say, if the moons all align, it could be really pretty cool for them. So I'm delighted that he's managed to get to where he is, and a lot of hard work still to do for them.
Yeah, definitely a lot. Yeah, going back to Brian, I think he was on a podcast. I'll put it in the show notes. I want to say it was Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. And he tells his story, and it starts out with Bitcoin. He's just purely Bitcoin. And I don't know if he's just linking it to Corey. I don't know if he's just been on this massive horseshoe with his company, and now he's coming back to Bitcoin. It kind of feels a bit like that. Obviously, I don't think Coinbase would ever stop promoting all these other altcoins because they make ridiculous amount of money from them, and they're public now. So it'd be kind of hard because they need to appease their shareholders, but or the yeah shareholders and can't remember where I was going with that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I was going to put that in the show notes because Brian was Bitcoin only. That's how he got into it. And now it's interesting to see. It looks like he's going more back to basics with Bitcoin, but we'll find out.
Yeah. So if Corey and the team at Swan can pull off a Bitcoin-only exchange and IPO it, that'll be quite interesting. And I know for a fact that Michael Saylor is helping them because he's on the NASDAQ already. So you'll be getting guidance from him. Bringing that back to the UK, what do we have in the UK? So we've got the team at Coin Corner, who are Isle of Man based, and we've got the team at BottlePay. I always worry about BottlePay because I never see any leadership there.
Yeah, BottlePay, like, you wouldn't really know that they were a UK company. Being from the UK, I never see them. I never see advertised anywhere. People don't really know about it when they come into the space.
Yeah.
It's really strange. I don't know if they're not doing well or there's a reason why they're not promoting their products. It's all very, I don't know if they're not targeting retail and now they're targeting B2B. I'm not sure where they sit. And yeah, you're right. It's very strange.
Yeah. The CEO, he is Mr. Invisible. He's the invisible man. And I know that they're owned by NYDIG. So I don't know if NYDIG bought them or invested money in them. It says they're a NYDIG company.
Yeah, they did.
But I'd be saying to NYDIG, you know, come on. How about some marketing in the UK? How about some work? How about coming over here, NYDIG, and helping us create a Bitcoin, you know, boosting it as opposed to just investing in a little exchange and hoping everything's going to be okay. I would love to see BottlePay IPO one day in the United Kingdom in the next 5 years. That would be a major success, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So you have our support. Please reach out. Yeah. Hello, BottlePay. We're the Bitcoin Collective podcast. Would you like to talk? We've DM'd you. We've contacted you. You've never contacted us back. Hello, BottlePay. Hello. Ah, there's nobody there. Maybe one day. Who knows? Maybe one day. interesting that Kraken came back on Twitter regarding the Bitcoin magazine story and Arizona, and we're saying big thumbs up. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. They. I like their CEO. I think he's the CEO, or maybe he's the founder. I can't remember his name.
Jesse,
that's it. Did you see the other bit of news this week was that there's going to be a Bitcoin mining rig set up in Pennsylvania, I think it was. A nuclear power station.
Was it nuclear or was it coal?
That's the first time ever.
Was it definitely nuclear?
No, nuclear.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
I think I'll run down to Hunterston B and say, get the miners set up, by the way. Get the miners set up there. Oh, God, Scotland. Oh, I'm thinking selling my house and going, just getting a camper van and going somewhere.
So, a camper van. You living in a camper van would be a nightmare.
So I've got a question for you, Jordan. So I know we don't talk too much about price, and I know that you're not a great big price guy. I admire you for simply learning about Bitcoin as money. I think it's gone in the last 2 weeks from something like $16,500 to this morning it's at $23,000 now. But it's still under the 200-day moving average. Weekly moving average. Yeah. There's a series of tweets out there from people in the know who are saying, when it's under the 200-day weekly moving average, you should, quote, buy like a psychopath, unquote. And then you've got Gareth Solway and the traders, and these guys ain't daft, saying, this thing's going to drop like a stone soon. Question. What would you do with your £1,000 right now?
um, I'd probably keep doing what I'm doing and just dollar cost average in and just up my dollar cost average, because we're at 22,000. Like, it could go back down to 15, 16, 17. I don't believe it would go lower than 15 now, but I could be wrong, but I think it will drop a little bit. But if you look at the 200-week moving average, and if you look at the cycles around that, then just from looking at that picture, like, I'm not saying that history will repeat itself, but just by solely looking at that picture, it's a good time to buy. Because the price is so low, it usually comes down and goes off of the 200-week moving average. And we've been below that for a few months now. But I would just keep doing what I'm doing. And because it's long term and I actually don't know what will happen, I think that there's a lot of... The macro environment's very sketchy at the moment, so there could be another black swan that we don't know about that could happen and affect Bitcoin. The price could drop even more. So yeah, I have no idea. I would just keep adding it into my dollar cost average. What would you do?
Okay, so I think you're right about black swan. So all this that the USA and Germany and Poland and the United Kingdom are essentially providing the Ukraine with 3 tank battalions. It's about 30 tanks in a battalion. So they're getting about 100 tanks. I don't think Putin's going to like that. Now, we don't like Putin because he's a narcissistic dictator bully who's invaded another country. There's no doubt about that. He's not going to like that. And I worry that Germany have now put themselves right in the firing line. So Black Swan, could there be a mini nuclear event? That's getting closer. I don't know if you saw the doomsday clock. So the doomsday clock's now like showing annihilation is as close as it's ever been for a nuclear war. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You've also got the fact that, let's not forget...
What's the doomsday clock?
Google it. Google the doomsday clock and we can talk about it next time. So the doomsday clock saying doomsday is nigh. You've got that black swan event there. You've got the markets. Let's face it. We're going into recession. America's going into recession. Big tech companies are laying off oodles of staff. They're not doing that from the point of view of saying it's just to make money. It's because they know we're about to hit the next year of recession. So stock markets could really take a hit at some point. There could be some event, as you say, black swan, and then boom, 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 it all unfurls. That could affect the Bitcoin price. Would you like to know my thesis?
Yeah, hit me with your thesis.
Hit me with your thesis, baby. Now, not financial advice.
That's the song that came to my head as well.
Are you a financial advisor?
I'm not, definitely not. Are you?
No, I'm not. I live in Dundee, mate. I'm not a financial advisor. If I lived in Chelsea or, you know, somewhere down Knightsbridge and had a huge big £30 million house, I might say I know what I'm talking about, but I don't. But here's my informed, uninformed, non-Scientology Bitcoin thesis. So, we know that BlackRock, etc., are coming into Bitcoin. Fidelity Investments, all that sort of stuff. You can see there's a bit of a chat going on in the USA regarding Bitcoin. Commodity-wise, Gary Gensler and the other one, the CFTC, have said it's a commodity, it's not a security. It's a good guy. We're going to back it. You can see that companies are looking at it. Apple's probably building a wallet right now. JP Morgan's building a wallet. Bank of America and that are looking at building a wallet. So that's all coming together. And I think what will happen in this recession is the big investors, your BlackRock's, etc., will say, where do we deploy capital that's going to give us the best bang for our buck over the next 5 months, while all these companies in stocks and shares are declaring smaller dividends and going bust and all the rest of it? I know, Bitcoin. We already understand it. And if we all pile into it, we'll probably pump the price as well. Let's do Bitcoin. And that is my thesis for 2023.
Okay. So they're seeing that as a safe haven, is kind of what you're saying. Is that like the hedge is kind of like turning on, yeah. Essentially?
Yeah, essentially the hedge, Bitcoin is the best hedge for all we can see out there. We can pour, will we invest in Apple? No, because they'll just bring out another iPhone. Will we invest in Amazon? No, because they're kind of like they've peaked. Where will we stick our money? The next best, you know, it's got to be Bitcoin. It's just about to get regulated. We're all over it. We control a lot of the mining here. Wahey! And they could 5x Bitcoin within a year if they deployed capital. That's my thesis, not financial advice.
But you also need to look at the possibility of they'll be looking at the Fed. They'll be looking at interest rates. They will be looking at inflation rates. It's likely that the money printer or quantitative easing is going to happen again this year, in my view anyway. And I think it's going to happen bigger than we've ever seen it before. And I think we have one more of these cycles to go before the fiat system breaks down more? Because these things always take longer than you think.
Yeah.
So will we go through another cycle of QE and money printing but that's going to be mega to get us out of the shit show that we're in? And yeah, will they just keep kicking the can down the road whilst we transition over, or a lot of these companies transition over? That's what I think is going to happen, and things are going to go back to a bit more normality of the stock markets are going back up again, everyone's all happy, but Bitcoin's going to be in there as well, ready for maybe the next collapse when everyone realizes that it's all built on debt and it's like, yeah, that's where I'm going with it now, and I think that might happen.
You and Brian Armstrong.
Okay. Why? Has he said anything about that?
No, because he's now all in Bitcoin, because he can see it happening as well. That's why he's taking .eth. You and Brian Armstrong, they know this is going to happen. So they're like, oh, we need to get back in the Bitcoin boat and pedal harder. All right, mate. Covered a lot there. Awesome. Congratulations also to Adam Back and Blockstream, who've brought in $125,000, I think it is, of investment. So well done to them.
$1,000?
25 million. Oh, million. 25, yeah, $125 million, wasn't it? I think I might DM him right now and see if he wants to sponsor the show. Adam, you look as if you've loaded. Got a few bob there. You're loaded. I know. All right. Look, everyone, have a great weekend. Keep learning, keep reading. If you get a chance to read the Bitcoin Times, BTC Times, the article, and see how I failed at orange pilling, but I've learned from it. Yeah. Keep hodling.
Keep hodling.
Not financial advice. I know. Keep hodling, man. You've got to do it in an American accent. Keep hodling, dude. All right, take care, John.
Right, have a good weekend.
Bye, ciao, everyone.